Indeed, words do have a lot of power, don't they? You know, it's actually amazing at how many words that we speak and how many words that we see in a day. We call this the information age, and actually I would say it's the over-information age, this idea that we are just overloaded with so much information that we just can't possibly keep up. The study did this research and they found that if you were to visit 200 websites in a day, now that's a lot, okay? Let's acknowledge that that's a lot. But you know, it's actually kind of possible considering that maybe if you open up your email, if you go on YouTube, if you go on Facebook throughout the day, you surf the web, surf a couple news articles, it's actually possible to get to that. And they said that if you did that, then you will see 490,000 words. Now, think about this. The famous book War and Peace is only 460,000 words. So we call this the information age. It is indeed information overload age, is how I would describe it. And as well, in our news cycle, you know, what astonishes me about the news today is that there doesn't seem to be this desire for media outlets to be right, to be accurate. Instead, it's all a race, just who can report it first. And since many of our traditional media outlets are dwindling, now they have less and less reporters who are spending their time actually doing research like they used to with journalism. And now it's just a race. We just got to get it out. We just got to break the story. And as a result, we have now this term that has actually become embedded in pop culture, in which we call fake news, right? And in fact, it's not only media outlets that are reporting fake news, but actually what's really crazy is there's actually people out there and they identify themselves as trolls, and their whole job, what they do, is they actually create fake stories. And they make them look really legitimate to the point where when you read it, you kind of don't know, is this true or is this fake news? You really kind of have a hard time. In fact, not only do we have a hard time, but even legitimate news outlets are actually having a hard time. And oftentimes, they will circulate, they will pass on a story that we call fake news. But it's funny that we have this term called fake news. And really, it's a term that we have given ourselves. But it's not fake news. There's another term for it, and it's called a lie. Can we just acknowledge that? That it's an ancient term. It's a lie. And I'm astonished as well at politicians who will say things like, oh, well, I just misspoke on that, or, well, I was misinformed, or my favorite was I heard someone say, oh, yes, I said an untruth the other day. An untruth? What is that? It's a lie. Can we just say, hey, I lied yesterday? Can we just say that? My favorite as well is these smear campaigns who are knowingly using these lies just to tear someone down. And oh boy, we are in the midterms this year, and we are going to see more and more of this. But when you knowingly using lies to tear people down. You know, we're in this series called God's Top 10, and we're going to be talking this morning about lying, about not using false testimony against your neighbor. And I'm just astonished at how, in our culture by and large, how we're just accustomed to lying. We just expect people to lie. We expect our politicians to lie. We expect our doctors to lie. We expect our attorneys to lie. We just expect everyone to lie. There was this show on NBC called Scrubs that aired in the mid-2000s. And basically the premise of it was you have these two doctors. One is a new doctor and one is kind of a veteran, experienced doctor. And the new doctor said, kind of out of his young naivete, kind of said, you know, I believe in the good of people. And you know what? I believe that people don't lie. And that sounds great, except for the veteran doctor. He knew better. He said, no, people lie. And to prove his point, he just did this kind of this fun teachable moment. He was in the ER, and there was a curtain with a guy on a bed, and so he just pulls back the curtain. He just picked a random one, just pulled back the curtain and said, "Hey, you." And there was this teenager there, or a young adult, and he said, "Hey, you, do you do drugs?" And the guy said, "Drugs? Oh, no, sir. I would never do drugs. Never touch drugs in my life, sir." And so he just pulled out this needle and said, "You know what? I'm about to give you this shot. And if you have any drugs whatsoever in your system, your heart's immediately going to fail and you're going to die." And the guy's eyes got wide open. He said, "Oh, yes, sir. Lots of drugs. Drugs every day, sir." And don't you wish that you had that needle metaphorically in life where you could just cut through the lies and just get straight to the truth? See, lying is a big deal. People, we're so accustomed to it. We're so accustomed to hearing it. We're so accustomed to saying it. It's a big deal to God. After all, think about Adam and Eve. How were they deceived into sinning? Was through a lie. Was Satan initially questioning God's word? Did God really say? The first method is to question God's word. But then the second method here is, well, surely you will not die. That's a lie. Surely you will not die. And they did. And they sinned and they did die. See this, God's top 10, if we go to the next slide here, I want to show you this. This is something that we've been in this series now for, well, 9 weeks actually, because we spent the first 2 weeks on the first commandment. But basically it's like this. We have, there's two tablets here that God gives us. And really it's about loving God and about loving others. And so the first three about no other gods and about his name and Sabbath, all of those teach us how to revere and how to love God. And then the others teach us how to love other people. And so this morning we are in definitely the second tablet here about how to love other people. And really, if you want to know how to love other people, part of it is to tell the truth. So let's get into this. We lie for a variety of reasons. So let's quickly go through a couple reasons why we lie. The first reason we lie here is what I call the cowardly lie. The cowardly lie. And this one is to escape consequences. It's to avoid punishment. This is the classic, "Well, my dog ate my homework," right? And by the way, I've actually seen that before. It actually has happened, okay? But you know, that's the classic excuse. And this is an old thing. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. As soon as Adam and Eve were caught, whenever God confronted Adam, what did Adam do? He said, "You know, it's that woman that you gave me." And in that statement, he was playing the blame game. And who was he blaming? He said, "That woman that you gave me." He blamed both the woman and then he also blamed God in that. And so it's this cowardly lie here. Someone asks you to do something and you say, "Well, I can't," but you really can, you just don't wanna. And what's the difference between you can't and you just don't wanna? Well, one's a lie. So that's the cowardly lie. We also have the conceited lie. Now, the conceited lie is a lot of fun because this is what you do to impress people. So you put on some sort of image or you cover yourself up. And really what it is, if the root of it all, is low self-esteem. And so in order to mask your low self-esteem, you're going to go hard the opposite direction, and you're going to brag about how great you are. And so you're going to exaggerate to prop yourself up. But what does the Bible call that? The Bible calls that a lie. You see, it's this pride and ego that comes off, but actually if you peel back the layers, you'll see that the inside is actually just insecurity. See, we puff up our resume. I found a study that said that 40% of people lie on their resume. How does that sound? They puff up the resume. Or we talk down to others. And we tear other people apart because it makes us feel good. What are we doing there? The root of that is insecurity. So then we've also got the calculated lie. That's our third lie, the calculated lie. Now this one is the more strategic one. So the other ones are kind of maybe caught in the moment, but this one, you kind of got to go out of your way to to create a strategy, if you will, and it's to manipulate other people. Now, the motivation behind this is going to be greed and selfishness, and basically it's this idea that you're just going to do whatever it takes to get ahead. I want what I want, so I'll get it. So I'm going to manipulate people. I'm going to lie to them. I'm going to move them around, you know, like some sort of pawn, if you will. And so those are really the heart of it. That those are really the motivations of why we lie. But instead, what God calls us to do, God calls us, of course, to tell the truth. And so how is it that we can tell the truth? How is it that we can get around these things? Well, the first thing to do here is to tell the truth completely. Tell the truth completely. Proverbs 10 says, "Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble." And what kind of trouble can you get into? Well, remember, there's always a consequence to sin. And in the case of lying, you can get yourselves into a whole host of troubles. I mean, for one, if you lie, you have to have a really good memory, okay? Because then you have to remember that, hey, I told this lie to this person, but then I told this lie to this other person. And by the way, you hope that they never talk to each other, okay? And so you have to remember, now every time I'm around this person, I have to perpetuate this lie. And then as well, maybe I have to say another lie to keep it going. And then we end up entangled in this web of lies, right? And we've all been there. And oftentimes it blows up right in front of our face, right in front of our spouses, right in front of our kids, right in front of everyone to see. Oftentimes it'll explode and come down on us. As well, we have this consequence of resentment or mistrust. After all, if you have the reputation of being someone who lies, then people aren't going to trust you. And so here's the deal. So we have to tell the truth completely. After all, half-truths are still lies. My favorite is when people tell me, well, I didn't lie to the person, I just didn't tell them the truth. And I'm like, same thing, right? Because what is not telling the truth? That's called a lie. So withholding the truth is still a lie. You can also be passive-aggressive in your nature, and that's still a lie. Whenever you would rather just sweep things under the rug and not deal with them. See, Proverbs 28 says this, "Whoever rebukes a man will afterward find more favor than he who flatters his tongue." In other words, people appreciate truth rather than flattery. And isn't that just so true? That it's almost like you have someone who's like dancing around the issue, you know, and they're like, and you're just like, just spit it out, right? Just say what you need to say, and just say it plainly. You don't have to be mean about it, but just say it plainly. Don't dance around the issue, you know. And as well, this is a hard part of management. Anyone knows who's ever been in business or has had to confront someone or have a hard conversation with, let's say, an employee who's goofing off, and you have to confront them. And honestly, it's going to be kind of hard, and maybe the other person gets upset. Usually that's the case. But it's so much better just to be upfront than just to dance around the issue, because eventually people are just going to see through it, and they're just going to get tired of just dancing around the issue. You know, this kind of reminds me as well of this movie called Office Space that came out in the 90s. And there's the scene where this guy got fired, but rather than actually telling him he got fired, they just simply discontinued his paychecks. And so he'd show up to work and he'd say, "Hey, where's my paycheck?" And they'd say, "Oh, you got to call HR." And then he'd call HR. "Oh, you really need to call accounting." And so call accounting. "Oh, it's actually an HR issue." And so, you know, he was kind of given the runaround there. But isn't that what it is? It's just, hey, just be upfront and honest with the person. And you're going to, and people appreciate that more in the long run. They really do. So tell the truth completely. Tell the truth consistently is our next one. Tell the truth consistently. Remember, lying breaks trust, and inconsistent truth-telling as well creates a bad reputation. Can you be trusted? Proverbs 11 says this, "People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty." And Jesus said this, and this is actually one of my favorite verses, just because, well, I just find it so convicting, is that let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Let your yeses be yes. Let your noes be no. In other words, whenever you speak, that you have some sort of authority behind it, that you have some sort of reputation that you're going to follow through, that you're going to do it. And so when people ask you to do something and you say yes, that it's not going to be this, I forgot about it, or broken promises, but rather just yes. And let your yeses be yes, let your noes be no. You know, as well, if you ever have to qualify a statement, I know I've done this many times in my life, when you say something and people go, mm-hmm. And then in order to try to gain their trust, now all of a sudden you start using words like, okay, well, this time I promise that I'll do it. You know, really kind of laying on like the, I'm totally going to do it, I promise. But think about that. If you have to put qualifiers around, because normally, if you normally do stuff and you hold to your word, then whenever you say it, people are just going to be like, okay, I'll trust that he'll do it. But whenever you have to put qualifiers around it, it already means that you have a reputation of distrust and that people don't trust you completely. And so here's the deal. If you want to divorce-proof your marriage, and you know this is a huge issue in marriages, where one spouse will do something and hide it from the other spouse. If you want to divorce-proof your marriage, then tell the truth, and tell the truth completely and consistently. So the third thing our final thing that we're called to do here is to tell the truth lovingly. Tell the truth lovingly. You see, being dishonest does not mean that you have to be brutal about it. And please don't ever use truth as a club to beat someone. Don't ever do that. Ephesians talks about this need for us to speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. And really, for us, that's got to be our goal. We've got to have both of those things. You see, if we only have one thing, then we're completely missing out. You see, here's the deal. So if you lie to them, then that's not love, right? Truth, love. So if you have lies, well, that's not real love anyways. But here's the deal. If you have truth, but you don't have any love or concern for the other person, then that's an attack. Then you're just using truth not as a vehicle to help the other person, for the other person to benefit, but rather now it's all for your benefit. And so you need both. You need truth and you need love. Truth and love. After all, 1 Corinthians 13, which is kind of like the love chapter of the Bible, if you will, like love is patient, love is kind, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, we also have love delights in the truth. And so part of truth telling in life is going to be that you do it in a loving way. Speak truth in love. You know, I got to say this, that if you know people in your life who are destroying themselves, if you know that they are walking away from God, that they are doing something that is going to destroy their life, so much of our culture has given us this script that what we're supposed to do in that situation is we're supposed to say nothing. Because whatever they're doing is for them, and whatever we do is for us. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says speak truth in love. So you got to have that conversation. You got to speak up. You got to say it. And really, the opposite is apathy. If you allow someone to walk away from God, if you allow someone to destroy themselves and destroy the people around them, and you're just simply sitting on the sidelines and you're just watching all of this, then that's not the loving thing to do. That's apathy. That's concern more for yourself than for the other person, because you just would rather avoid an awkward conversation. And so really, whenever we talk about this issue of truth-telling, it's not really about the mouth. It's actually about the heart. You see, Jesus actually says that here in Matthew 12. The real problem of this is, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so all along we've been talking about the tongue. That was what our video is about. We've been talking about the words that we say. But you know, we all know this, right? That it's not an issue of our mouth. It's not an issue of our tongue, but rather it's an issue of our heart. And you see, lying is an issue of the heart. In fact, that's one of the things that we found as we've gone through this God's Top 10 series. Is we found that in the areas of murder, in the areas of adultery, we found that Jesus even says that it's not an issue of necessarily the actions, although those are also sin. But he says that so much of it begins in the heart. It begins within. And so really, the solution to stop lying is to get a new heart. To get a new heart from Jesus. And so we can go to God and we can ask God, hey God, fill us with love and peace and joy instead of things like selfishness and hate and insecurity. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus identified himself as the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth. He said, I am the truth. And that the truth will set us free. You see, Jesus loves us so much that he went to the cross to die for our sins and so that we can receive forgiveness. And so this morning, I got to tell you that in prepping for this, it's hard. That's been true of the past 9 weeks has been, man, this is really, really convicting. This is really hard stuff to talk about. And that's exactly the point of the Ten Commandments, is that we look at God's law and we realize, wow, we've sinned. Wow, we're broken people. And how much we need God in our lives. And how much we need his forgiveness. And don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on the sin. Don't dwell on our past. But rather go to God and receive his forgiveness. And about how we can then move forward in life. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's about being set free. And that's what Jesus says. He says, if you know the truth, and Jesus is the truth, if we know Jesus, then the truth will set us free. And all God's people said, amen. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, as we come together this morning to discuss your top 10 commandments, Lord, and of all of the things that you could have commanded, you said that, hey, one of the things that you want is this idea of truth-telling, this idea of not bearing false witness against our neighbor, of not lying to other people. And so, Lord, in a culture that just takes you so lightly and takes words and lies so lightly, Lord, we pray, Lord, that we can be that light in darkness that shines and that speaks your truth. In all this we pray, amen.